Friday. This Friday, coming to a stream near you, it's Shaky's Hog. You've been waiting, now it's coming. This Friday at 7 p.m. on the Bizazio Gaming Channel on Twitch. Is it crooked? Is it big? Come find out. Friday.
Welcome to Rounding Down, the only Outlaw Tough Person, Bad Person podcast that dares to ask what is good and what is bad. I'm Chid, the Outlaw Tough Person, Bad Person in question. Alongside me is a man who lives in a house that is an apartment, and he's still there, and he's with his fiance, and he doesn't call her Auntie Yonce. He's a guy who likes to drink Mountain Dew, and he likes to screw. It's Sy Fieri.
Did you just apartment shame me? Because I don't live in a house, I live in an apartment?
No, I said All right. Live in a house that's an apartment. I don't know. I lived in a house that was an apartment for a long time.
Are you trying to say that you're more wealthy than me?
No, not at all.
Now that you got your stimulus bucks?
I am a high-status motherfucker. Everyone knows that. I do have my stimulus bucks, and I plan to spend it all on... It's happened to me a few times where I've gotten unexpected money, and I'm always... Every time it happens, I'm like, I'm going to actually use this money for good. And by good, I mean like playing poker, obviously. But I never get to do it. I'm always just pay a bill with it or whatever. Like, I got paid $400 once unexpectedly, and I just like blew it on bills. I got paid $150 like two months ago for something arts related secret, and unexpectedly it was like a grant basically where I didn't win, but I came in not first place for a thing, and they reached out to me like a year later and were like, hey, we have some extra money. We'll give it to you. And I was like, I was expecting to be like $10, like an honorarium, but it was like $150. And I just like used it to pay. I think I bought groceries on Instacart with it because, that's my life now.
I can't imagine ever having extra money and reaching out to someone a year later and be like, hey, I have this extra money. Do you want it? Well, I imagine it's probably like tax deductible. So that's why they reached out to you or whatever, but.
It could be. It could be because they had too much money, and if they had kept it for over the year, maybe they'd have to pay taxes on it or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, they're a legitimate organization. I'm not a legitimate person in any way, shape, or form. So
that's true.
Yeah. That's part of my life. That's what I have to deal with.
That's your truth.
That's my truth. That's our truth.
Yeah.
I think that's a wrestling thing.
Unfortunately, I live in your truth as well. I don't have my own truth.
Yeah. We are in week six now. Tomorrow marks the sixth week, the beginning of the sixth week of quarantine in my household. I have never been busier in my life. And I don't know. It's still very bad out there. The whole world is not doing great. I don't know what to say about any of that. But here's what I can say is, because I am a high-risk person, I haven't really left my house to go anywhere. Like, I haven't been to a supermarket or anything in 6 weeks. So everything that comes into my house is being... Well, like, I'm ordering stuff through, like, Instacart or other grocery delivery services. And I got to say, Instacart, not a fan of that delivery service at all. I'm tipping 25-30% to these people to make sure that I actually get my order. And, you know, I'm happy to do it. They're putting their lives at risk. I think that should be like an expectation. But basically with Instacart, like everything you buy is already marked up like between 5-10% per item, it appears, basically.
Yeah.
So like that's not a lot if you're buying five things or whatever, if you're just like on a normal non-COVID-19 pandemic. If you're just like, oh, today I need someone to run to, I don't have time, but I need someone to run to the grocery store to get me like a couple yogurts and some bananas and some granola and some beers or whatever. You'd be like, okay, weird shopping list. But my point is that might cost you an extra $4 because it's only four items, right? Like because of the 10% markup. But then they also have delivery charge, and then you're also tipping. So it's like,
How much is the delivery charge?
It's not, I think it's like you pay $4 now. You have to pay $4 to ensure you're actually getting it appears. I think delivery charge is like $7 or $8. But basically what it means is like a week's worth of groceries, which I would buy at a grocery store for my family of four, including two, like one half and one quarter person, children would cost like $120 a week about for my family. And now it's like $250 a week on Instacart. So
wait, so you and your family are four. It costs $120 a week to go grocery shopping.
Yeah, it just that's, about.
That's pretty impressive. We spend like $200 a week on groceries.
I mean, I can review your grocery list with you if you want me to help you save money.
I don't want you to look at my grocery list. I don't want to talk to you about my grocery list. I just wanted to point out that you're good at grocery shopping.
Well, I'm
here. I am complimenting you, and you're just looking to give me a hard time.
No, already. And listen, and maybe this is a thing that I should round down on today. So our guest is going to round up on something that's very near and dear to his heart, something that's near and dear to a lot of our listeners' hearts. But I want to round up on something, I want to round down on something. And that's the concept of punching down. You've heard about this punching down thing people say on the internet, punching down.
Yeah.
They're like, never, you shouldn't punch down. You should punch up. You shouldn't punch down. I don't get it. I don't get it. As far as I'm concerned, the only way to punch is straight ahead. Boom. Right in the kisser. Like if you, and to win a fight, like I've watched some UFC / MMA to be non-brand specific in my day. And basically, if you get on top of someone and you're punching down on them, you're going to win the fight. Unless they like get you in our like a what's that called, like the triangle hold or whatever. Unless they reverse it on you, then you're going to lose because they'll break your leg or whatever.
The figure four
leg lock, the Boston Crab, sharpshooter. But if they don't do any of those things, then you're going to win because you're punching down on them. So I don't understand why punching down is bad. In fact, I think that punching up, if you're punching up in the sky at someone, like someone's, like if you're, say, just as an example, you're maybe 5'6", and your name's Curtis Weenis, and you're fighting someone who is like maybe, we'll just say, named Volga Rosanya, who's 6'7". Curtis Weenis would not punch, he'd have to punch so high up, and I don't even think his arms would reach Volga Rosanya's face punching.
It certainly wouldn't.
Him.
Even if he was on a chair, I don't think he'd be able to reach him.
So my point is, like, if he was punching up at Volga Rosanya, and not he shouldn't, because Volga Rosanya is a great guy. Weenis is a fine, you know, whatever. He's a good guy, too.
He's a person.
I don't think he would fight Volga Rosanya. He's also not dumb, because he's a finance bro. So he wouldn't do that fight. But my point is, to punch up at Volga Rosanya would be bad. He would not win that fight. It's like, punching up is a thing that, like, people laud, because we all love people who are losers, I guess. We just love losers who fight City Hall and get crushed. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, where I'm from, I like my war heroes to maybe win the war. I like my war heroes who don't get captured. You know what I'm saying?
There are a lot of war heroes from Philadelphia.
I like my war heroes who weren't in prison camps. John McCain. I'm just doing an impression of one of the greatest leaders of all time, our current president. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I'm supposed to laud someone who's bad at fighting. Like, be good at fighting maybe next time. Punch down and be good at win the fight if you're punching down. Like, if you're Michael Che and you're punching down at Jack Allison, you're winning the fight. He's beneath you. So you're punching the shit out of him. And what's he going to do? Nothing. He can't punch back. He's not going to go to 1600 Penn Sylvania Avenue, where 30 Rockefeller Center is, and beat you up. He can't do that.
Are you saying that Michael Che won that fight?
I mean, pretty definitively, yes.
Okay. I heard that you're supposed to bitch up, though. Like, when you complain, you're supposed to complain to people who are in a higher position to you than as opposed to complaining to people who are...
No, I think you heard that wrong. You're supposed to complain about people who are in a higher position to you than you, not to them. Because if you bitch up and you complain to people who are more status, higher status than you, then they look down on you even more. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like if I have a petty complaint, I want to issue that petty complaint to someone who's lower status than me, like you. If I issue that complaint to someone who's higher status than me, like Mike Pence, then it doesn't help me. It's just going to make him think that I'm feeble and weak. What I need to do to win Mike Pence's heart is I need to shake his mother's hand and say, "Mother, it's a pleasure to meet you," and prepare her a nice meal. And then I need to just slap him in the face when I want to prove my point.
All right.
You know how, like, there's different ways to make an impact on someone?
Yeah.
One of them is by the business world and corporate world. Sorry, go ahead.
One of them is by saying that you would use them as an example to talk down to.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but sure.
You one just of them used is, me as an example to talk down to. It was shitty, and it hurt my feelings.
Well, you're lower status than me. I'm high status podcast host. You're lower status podcast co-host. It's like a status thing. Like, it's why it's like, you know, it's why it's funny when, for example, if someone says "chid," you actually have been horny, and I'm going to prove it. And they find a tweet where I've been horny, maybe then it's. It's funnier because I'm a high status person. If they say like, "Sai, you haven't been horny and I'm going to prove it," it's not actually that funny because, like, you know, like, what are you, you're not trying to prove anything.
Okay.
You know what All I'm right. saying?
No.
Well, anyway. One way to win over a room when you're doing a job interview is to disagree strongly with a person who is in charge.
I like that a lot because I know what you're talking about.
It's a strategy for winning over a room. It's a strategy for getting a job. Like, anyone can... Most people don't want to hire sycophants and yes men. Most people want to hire someone who's the smartest person in the room. So when you have a job interview or when you're meeting an important, great man like Michael Pence, you want to go in and you want to go in and when he says... that he thinks AIDS is good because it's hurting a community that he doesn't care about, you want to go in and disagree with him. And when he says that he thinks calling your wife mother is good, you want to go in and you want to say, "I disagree," and you want to explain why you should call your wife by her name, like that movie Call Me By Your Name. But other than that, you don't want to agree with him on anything, like, because that's how you win his respect, is disagreeing with him. Would you agree?
I disagree. Did I win your respect just then?
A little bit, yes. All I'm right. not going to lie. I mean, that was good. You're figuring it out.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to be a yes man anymore.
It's been a year or two since you've been out on the floor.
Yeah.
Shaking booty, making free sweet love all the night.
Yep.
It's time you got back to the good life.
Yep. Is that Weezer?
It's time you got back.
Is that Weezer?
I don't even know how you got off the track.
Okay.
It's time you go back. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Rivers. I'm glad you're here.
Rivers is always here.
Is that you clicking?
No, I think that's our guest. I think he's recording a mixtape on a cassette deck. It sounds like a cassette that he's
recording
hitting
a demo.
The play record button with. It's nice. I like it, and I'm happy about it.
Does he have the talk boy from Home Alone?
Hi, kids. We're home early. I had a talk boy. Did you have a talk boy?
No.
I got a talk boy for Christmas, like probably the year that commercial came out. It was the thing I was most excited about that Christmas. And I got it, and it was great. And basically, though, along with that, I got a couple cassettes that were music, and one of them was Aerosmith's record. The fuck is the name of it? The one that has Crying and on it, that one. I got that one with it, and I played that on the...
Is that the same one with Love in an Elevator on it?
I think so, yes. And I would just play that and I'd play it on my talk boy and not record on it because it wasn't recordable since it was
living it up while I'm going down.
Maybe it was Big One. They were both on Big Ones, which is their,
greatest big ones hits.
You can look at. Yeah. That was their greatest hits. That came out in 1994. So maybe that's what you're thinking of. Maybe that's what I had. They were both on that. Anyway, great. Big Ones You Can Look At is the DVD. Big Ones is the name of the cassette, or CD.
I like looking at Big Ones.
Yeah, I mean, that's a clever name for, they should just call it Free Titties, the Aerosmith DVD.
Free Love.
Free Titties. Listen, we don't have a lot of time today, so let's just get right into it. Our guest is on Rounding Down. He's a person who's here. He's here to talk. Today's guest is a Rounding Down fan. He's a person who I know from either Deadspin or the Bug Cult, but I don't know which. I honestly don't know when we became friends. I don't know if he had a Deadspin handle and he changed his Twitter name multiple times. It seems like that's possible. Anyway, he loves the NFL draft, but perplexingly does not know when the NFL draft is. He's from Michigan, and I wish and wish again he would tell me when's the draft. It's Walker Kelly.
Hi.
Hi, Walker. How you doing?
I'm doing fairly well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. How you holding up in this quarantine?
Fine. I suppose the best thing that's come out of it is that my therapy appointments are now free. So, the mental health is going better than I would have anticipated at the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, some people call it mental health. I call it mental wealth, because when you have good mental health, you feel wealthy.
Yeah, totally.
That's awesome that your therapy appointments are free. I wish that I had health insurance that was like, yeah, we'll give you that for free.
Yeah, I get it through. My mom works at a school, so I'm not old enough to be off her insurance yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're certainly old enough to be off it if you wanted to, but it's probably better that you're not. It sounds like you have good insurance, so you should stay.
That would be the case, yeah.
Yeah. Walker, just let's back up for 1 second. Do I know you from Deadspin or from the Bug Cult or just from Twitter? How do I know you?
I think it's mostly just from Twitter. I got into the whole old Deadspin group because I think I found Eric's getting murdered by 90s women thread, and then I followed him, and that just kind of metastasized into everything that's happened since.
Oh, okay. So that's so interesting. So you're wow. So were you a Deadspin reader?
Yeah, I was. I never really was a commenter until right at the end. I had a very bad comment handle that was Damian Lillard ass.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember that. But it sounds like you were in what I'll call the not the gold or platinum or even silver or bronze era, not even the modern era. I'll call it the rust era of Deadspin commenting. Yeah. I feel like we've been talking on Twitter for a year-ish now, around a year, maybe 9 months or so. You've been around for a long time. And you're also well established with groups of people that are not part of the Deadspin universe. Yeah. Interestingly, which is something else. Tell me this, Walker, and this is something I'm curious about. You cover the NFL draft, you write about the draft. I don't want to just ask this question because it's an obvious question or it's something that other people have asked you. I want to ask it because it's something that I really want to know, and I think this episode's going to come out, I think, a couple of days before it happens, so I just want to get some synergy here, and I think we just address this right up front, and we answer the question that's really the elephant in the room here. It'll make it easier for all of our listeners to kind of be on the same page and focus on the rest of what you have to say. So I bet you can guess the question.
Do you want me to guess the question?
Sure. Yeah.
Are you going to ask me when is the draft?
Oh, no. Oh, do you? That's not what I was going to ask you, but do you want to? Sure. When do you want to answer?
Yeah, sure. The draft is April 23rd through April 25th.
Okay, perfect. Wow. It's good to get that out. I was going to ask you when you. I was going to ask you what it's like. Your dad is. Your dad's alive. He's on Twitter. He seems very supportive of you. He seems like he follows your interests. I was just going to ask what it's like to have a dad who's supportive and is supportive of the things you're interested in and supports your career and supports you as a person. That's what Cy and I both wanted to answer that.
All right. Well, this is a little bit unexpected, but yeah. I mean, my dad's great. I would never really trade him for anything, honestly. I'm very fortunate, to have grown up in a household where not just my dad, both my parents always supported me in everything I did. And they accept me for who I am and, even the abnormal parts. So yeah. I personally think that it is great. Honestly, when you, first mentioned my dad, I thought you were going to, talk about when Kate hit on him.
I was hoping you would. I was not going to bring it up, but yeah, let's talk about that other elephant in the room. When Kate hit on your dad, let's talk.
Basically, it was just she saw my dad was on Twitter, and she's like, "Mr. Kelly with 8 million commas, hello." And now they follow each other on Twitter, and it's not weird because Kate was just fucking with me.
Do you think that she's in his DMs?
I highly doubt that.
Can you call her mom now?
I call her mom on Twitter because her and Amos act like my parents.
Oh yeah, Amos, aka Washington Foreskins. Yes, you're talking about washing them foreskins. Yeah, he's been on the pod before. Great guy. Have a great time with him. Kate is more of a Twinja person than a Deadspin person, but a real. Yeah, she really has fun, and it's great to have a lot of these people around. So I don't know what to tell you about that. So this year in the NFL draft, what do you think people should really be looking out for?
Probably the fact that there's a shitload of receivers who are like quite good. I think there's going to be a lot of wide receivers taken in the first 3-4 rounds, and that they'll probably make an impact in the NFL like pretty quickly. Yeah, so especially the top of the wide receiver draft, CeeDee Lamb, who obviously that's kind of become a meme among like the Deadspin users, but yeah, he's a really good player. Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs III are both very good prospects, and there's a litany of others that could go first round, second round, that type of region. So I'd say that's probably the prevailing like storyline of the draft. There's also the kind of the issue of Miami, when they kind of came into the season like intentionally not trying to win games to land one of the top quarterback prospects, and they accidentally won too many games, so they ended up with the 5th pick, and now they're not necessarily in position to get the guy that they wanted. So
do they have enough capital to trade with Detroit to get up?
Yeah,
because I know Detroit was interested in trading their pick.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most likely eventuality, whether it's Miami or the Chargers, because both of them need a long-term answer at quarterback. But yeah, I definitely think that the Lions are looking to move down, and either one of those teams has the ability, definitely has the draft capital to swing a move there.
If they're looking for a long-term solution at quarterback, isn't Tua not the answer based on his injury history?
I mean, there's definitely concern there.
You don't think he's going to slip, though? Will he make it out of the top 10? Or
no, I highly doubt he makes it out of the top 10. I could see Miami going with Justin Herbert instead of Tagovailoa, but I don't think he falls out of the top 10. I would imagine that if Miami takes him or takes Herbert at their pick or trades up for Herbert, I still think if Tua is there at the Chargers pick, that's where he'll end up, because they have Tyrod Taylor, who they can play this season and just kind of like wait for Tua to get completely healthy and then install him year two.
Yeah, that's fair. So speaking of drafts,
yeah.
I want to just get, before we get into that side. So there are the wide receiver class this year. I've heard people laud it quite a bit. Last year's wide receiver class was also one that I think people had a lot of, there was a lot of hype before the draft, as I recall. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I would think it's going to be tough for this year's class to kind of outplay. There's a lot of like instant impact rookies in last year's wide receiver class in a way that doesn't typically happen in the NFL. Like there's not usually like, a whole series. There's not usually like 7 guys who bust out who are rookie receivers. It's just not like typical in the NFL, especially in recent seasons. Yeah. It would be tough to top. Like last year's class, I think if we're just to look back on 2019 for a moment, you had Terry McLaurin, obviously, DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuel was good, AJ Brown yeah. Obviously. Mecole Hardman had some moments.
Was pretty good too.
Yeah, Slayton. And like there are still guys who like N'Keal Harry, who looked good in short stints, sure, but obviously was hurt and struggled to get on the field. And who knows, like about other players from that draft. Like that seems like a pretty strong wide receiver class. But I just wonder, like I just looking back over the wide receiver classes of I guess of like the last 10 years, what like what would you point to as a really good wide receiver class, like one with staying power? Can you think of one?
2014. Sammy Watkins was the first receiver taken, and
he's
been, you know, decent. Injuries have kind of sapped a little bit of his explosiveness, but when he's been on the field, he's mostly been good. But after that, you had Mike Evans, who's outstanding. Odell Beckham Jr. is outstanding. Brandon Cooks has had quite a few really good seasons, and they all went in the first round. So
yeah, and that was also the draft that I think that had Jarvis Landry, yep, and Allen Robinson and Martavis Bryant, although he's fallen obviously way off. And Quincy Enunwa, who I always, for, you know how there's certain players who you're just like, yeah, that guy's going to finally put it together, and you're waiting on them. I've been waiting on Quincy Enunwa for his whole career. I think that he's going to bust out one of these years. Yeah, so I guess if it's like that, then wow, that would be quite the draft.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm pretty excited in general for this year's NFL draft, now, especially now that I know like when it is.
Right.
I think there's a lot of intrigue. I think there's a lot of teams that have a lot of moves to make. Why do you think the Lions are going to do what they're going to do?
That's just a hard question to answer on any front about anything, honestly. The Lions will probably try to trade back because we have a lot of spots on the team that need depth or even
starters. Right. Well, you're so loaded with talent. Also, you don't need any of those top tier talent guys because that team's stocked at every position. So you don't want any like blue chippers. You want to just fill in the holes.
Is God Danny Amendola still a Lion?
Yes, Danny Amendola is still a Lion.
Just asking.
He was somehow like good last year. I don't know how it happened, but he was actually good.
I think he was fine on the Patriots. He just was a guy who they didn't. The reality is, I think it became fairly apparent when he was on the Patriots that I recall him being like kind of temporarily the number one target in St. Louis when they were St. Louis.
Yeah.
And he seemed like a guy who you never, ever, 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 ever want as your number one target or even your number two target. Mm-hmm. But as your third or fourth, like a complimentary piece, he's a very, very admirable complimentary piece. He's going to get open. He has good hands.
Yep.
But yeah, you don't want him going against like the number one corner, and he's a guy who gets hurt all the time either. So you don't want him playing, you know, 70 snaps a game or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I think he's good in stretches. It's just some of the moves that the line, they're a team that perplexes me as a football fan, just because they've been so, I don't even want to say middling because that gives them too much credit. They've had a handful of middling years in my life, but it's a team that like, seems to always be in the process of rebuilding, and I don't know why. Do you know why?
Because we're usually bad.
I think the thing, because I have quite a few friends who are Lions fans, and I think it's very easy to blame everything on Matt Stafford. You're not in the Matt Stafford's the reason we always suck.
Oh, God, camp, no. Right? He's the reason that we win anything ever.
Okay, so I tend to believe that too. I think that he's probably the reason that the team has like been around 500 for, you know, a handful of years. Yeah. But I don't know what the rest of the, in some respects, it also comes down to like a constant turnover at the coach and GM position. And like those things also aren't, don't help any team, obviously, when it's changing direction every 4 years or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think ownership or the people that ownership have brought in to help, you know, decide who's going to run the team, the decision making there has been pretty suspect for a long time. You know, the Lions' best coach ever might be Wayne Fonts, who was okay. It's, you know, the Lions have had a lot of outstanding players, and it's just we've never really had a complete team. You know, I'm 24 going on 25 years old, and I've never seen the Lions win a playoff game. Think about how sad that is.
It sucks.
I mean, I'm 35 and I haven't either.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, 91, you've seen them have a winning team.
We won a playoff game.
Yeah. Well, they. I also, as Hey Mercedes once said, 24-24, not a kid anymore. Are you kidding? But the point there is that's, you know, I think, like, sometimes when I think of the Lions, I'm like, yeah, they got John Kitna. They're fine. Like, you know, I don't like what he did at that drive through with his wife. And I think that their Halloween costumes were in bad taste, but I don't know. They're still basically perpetually the John Kitna. They just break my brain. I'm baffled. I think that, like, I was so excited when Calvin Johnson was drafted. I remember I was very, oh, this guy's going to be unbelievable. He's great. He's going to be a great player for a long time. And he certainly was. He was a transcendent player. I remember Barry Sanders, loving him, thinking he was an amazing running back. One of the, you know, I was happened to be a young lad and first getting into football, like in the halcyon days of Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders being like the two best running backs in football when running backs really mattered. You know, I've had the benefit of seeing a lot of like really fun Detroit Lions. And yet that team, I don't know. I also got to live through the Matt Millen era. I got to enjoy all of his choices. So you wonder, it's kind of like baffling how, these like game changing players don't end up going to one specific team over and over again, I guess is maybe the, like, and maybe it's more perplexing that you get like the Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders, like once every 20 years, you get a completely transcendent player and can't put anyone around that person whatsoever. I don't know. What's worse?
That.
Okay. That's what I would assume.
So speaking of what's worse, Walker, if you had to draft podcast hosts, would Chid or myself be higher on your draft board? And I have a follow up for that.
Okay. I'll dive into it just a little bit. So in terms of the intangibles, I think Chid's got a bit of a natural talent advantage here. He's more boisterous. He's you know, louder. He kind of jumps in. Seems a little bit more self-assured. In terms of the fundamentals and being a team player, I think Sai's definitely got the advantage there. So
bullshit.
Depending on the way you're building your podcast team, if you need that kind of go-getter, that big personality, then Chid should be number one on your board. But if you need a role player who's gonna fill a spot really well and be great for team morale, then I think you go with Sai.
Yeah, it's like it's the classic conundrum, especially in building an NFL roster, where it's like, do I want a blue chipper who's going to fundamentally change the offensive or defensive side of the ball? Or do I want a guy who, when my first and second string edge rushers are hurt or banged up or have played too many snaps, he can come out and maybe put a little bit of pressure on the quarterback? That's what you're choosing between.
So Walker, what you're saying is that the Detroit Lions, if they had the choice between me and Chid, they would choose me.
I would. Chid's statement was incorrect. Sai's statement was incredibly correct.
So has anything either of us have said on this podcast made us drop in your rankings for your podcast draft?
Literally every single word.
Oh, okay. Well, fair. Let's keep talking. We gotta climb down to the bottom of the board.
UDFA grades.
I don't like it. Walker, what do you think is the most overrated position that like teams value heavily in drafting?
Linebacker, 100%. Off-ball linebacker.
Inside or outside?
Inside. Outside linebackers are important because they rush the passer. Inside linebackers don't do shit except make tackles when guys are funneled right to them. Inside linebackers are just as worthless as running backs, and they should never ever be taken in the first round unless they can play another position or are incredibly transcendent talents.
Interesting. Walker, how many NFL stadiums have you been to?
One.
Just Detroit?
Yeah, Ford Field.
Okay. So Sai and I had the benefit of going to Lambeau Field together several years back. We were there for a preseason game. Hell of a stadium, really fun. I've been outside a handful of NFL stadiums because of my job and because I have traveled this great nation, once great nation, heavily. And I got to say, when you're standing outside that new Minnesota Vikings stadium, you're just like, man, look at all these dead birds.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. Yeah.
It's just like a big, like, it's like a big bird killer. I don't know. It's weird.
We also got to drive by the New Vegas Stadium too. That was,
We did. We drove by the New Vegas Stadium, the Vegas Raiders.
That one actually looks dope as hell.
It looks cool.
Like the Death Star.
Yeah, it's all black from the outside, and it's on the street that's one street off of the strip where basically
all the strip clubs are.
It's where all the strip clubs and weed dispensaries are. It's like on a street where it's all dispensaries and strip clubs and the Raiders. So
it's just great.
It's going to be a fun season for them. I don't know.
Walker, do you have a favorite sports movie, and why is it 2014 Kevin Costner hit draft day?
It's not that, because that is a very bad movie. my favorite sports movie is Miracle, which is cheesy as shit, but it's...
The Disney movie?
Yeah, it's extremely cheesy, but it's also...
Is that Kurt Russell?
Yeah, with Kurt Russell. It's actually well acted and also extremely historically accurate, so I appreciate it.
Except for the accents. Those accents are all...
They're not great. Accurate. They're not awesome.
The kids in it are... So this is a movie that I very recently watched as a Disney Plus owner, And I hadn't seen it. I never saw it when it came out, because when it came out was in the early 2000s, which was in a phase where I was really way too cool to see movies. and so I watched it like in the beginning of quarantine, and it's good. It's a fun movie. True story. It seemed fairly true. But one of the kids, I forget which he plays, the hockey player who gets hurt, the one, I think he's a Boston kid.
Jack O'Callaghan.
Jimmy?
O'Callaghan, yeah.
Yeah, O'Callaghan. Not a good actor. No. I think he's the weak link of the movie. The rest of it is pretty good acting-wise, but he is rough. I you're watching someone who's incredibly self-conscious the whole time. It's like listening to this podcast and whenever Cy is talking and defending himself.
Okay. No comment.
I appreciate that, Walker. Thank you. I have notes here with questions to ask you, but I made sure to write down to not call you Walter at any point.
That's great. I really like that.
ICP, Kid Rock, or Eminem? Who's the ultimate fuck, marry, kill for the Detroit Rock City, baby?
Well, you got to kill Kid Rock because he's a horrific asshole. Okay. So, and I would probably... I would probably marry ICP because I don't think I'd want to fuck both of them at the same time.
Okay.
So then I'm fucking Eminem, I guess.
Do you want my answers?
Kim Basinger does it in 8 Mile and it seems okay.
Yeah. Is it Kim Basinger? I thought that was his mom. I think Brittany Murphy does him.
Oh, well, that is also, sure.
Kim Basinger also has sex with like one of his classmates from high school in that movie.
I watched the movie one time on MTV like 9 years ago. It's the battle scenes are good, but the movie is bad.
It's not a bad movie. Excuse me.
Clarence's parents have a very good marriage.
I watched that movie also in the year 2020 because I had never seen it before, and it was on demand, and I watched it one night, and I got to say, it's good. There's a lot of stuff in it. The thing that's most funny to me about it is that it exists in a world where everyone communicates via battle rap. So, like, at one point, he's working in a factory, and there's, like, people who are, like, septuagenarians who are, like, battle rapping each other because they're, like, mad outside of, like, a steamer truck. Yep. That's the part of it where I'm like, okay, bizarre. This is a bizarre universe where battle rap holds this much currency in every aspect of this person's life. But I guess, you know, I'm just a book-smart dweeb, and Eminem is a street-smart hero. So I guess he knows more about what matters than I do.
Sure.
How do you feel about the movie Booksmart?
I haven't seen it.
Is it bad? I googled earlier. Is Booksmart bad and dumb?
I mean, a lot of people that I respect really liked it, so probably not, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. All I know is that it stars Beanie Feldstein, and she's related to Jonah Hill. That's all I know.
I didn't know she was related to Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I think they're siblings.
She's the girl from...
Lady Bird.
Oh, yeah. She's good, yeah, right?
Lady Bird's good. Lady Bird, I think, is great. I stand that movie forever. I saw that movie in theaters. That was one of my last in theater movies before I stopped seeing movies in theaters. Sure. And, you know, frankly, before the whole world stopped seeing movies in theaters, it seems like.
Yeah, that, you know, that's kind of what happens when you can't do that when it's illegal.
Yeah. I was outside my house grilling tonight, and two different cop cars came by, and both the cops mean mugged me. I think because I had my dick out and it was just like fully erect because I was grilling. But it was like my property, so like I can do whatever I want on my property. But it's like you grill and you get horny as hell. Like you just are like, just like boom. Like you're just like, you know, the blood just rushes to the main vein. You know what I'm saying?
I've grilled before, and I've never become erect. From it, so
not even at a Lions game.
I don't the two times I've been to a Lions game, I'm pretty sure I haven't been erect either time as well.
Walker, would you agree or disagree that watching football is worse on in person than it is on television?
I would absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, it's not a good live sport. I mean, it's fun if you like getting blackout drunk and fighting people, but if you don't like those two things, it's not the most fun.
If you're from Buffalo.
I mean, I think that that is true no matter what. You know, Cy and I are both Philly guys. We both love the Eagles.
Sure.
And
fly, Eagles, fly.
And they, you know, you go down to the link and people are also getting blackout drunk and getting in fights. It happens at every stadium. I think that, but yeah, it's not the best. No. It's not the best if you want to actually watch the game and know what the hell is going on.
No, it's for the experience of like being there with your friends and shit. I mean, baseball is the one sport that is dramatically improved by being live, you know, in the flesh.
I disagree.
Okay.
Respectfully, of course. Hockey, I really enjoy.
That's fair.
In person,
you know.
But I can't do baseball. It's too.
I think baseball is bad on TV anymore. I will only occasionally watch the Tigers, which probably also is contributed by the fact that they're awful. But I do enjoy still like going to a ball game. The experience and all is fun and good to me. But hockey also, yeah. I when I was in college, I did like color commentary for the club hockey team at Oakland University. I'm apparently doxing myself, but whatever. But yeah, that was fun. And watching hockey games live is quite good. I will agree.
Well, there's a new hockey arena, right? In Detroit too. They just rebuilt it.
Well, Little Caesars Arena is both for the Red Wings and the Pistons.
Yeah. Okay. So yes. But yeah, wait a second. You went to Oakland University, I think you said. So when Krayshawn said Oakland City represent, address me as your majesty, was she talking about you?
Well, she was talking about me, but it's a little bit inaccurate because Oakland University is actually in Rochester, Michigan, not in Oakland, California.
Right, but still, like I figured that it was in Michigan. You're a Michigander through and through. Mm-hmm. Walker, can you just run through some stereotypes for me? People who go to Western Michigan, go.
Drunk, always.
People who go to Eastern Michigan, go.
Couldn't get into U of M.
People who go to Michigan State.
Farm boys.
People who go to U of M.
Elitists.
People who go to U of M but are in the creative writing program.
Just the haughtiest dipshits imaginable.
People who go to U of M but are in the creative writing MFA program.
This seems to be getting very specific, and I therefore have no comment.
People that go to Eastern Oakland University.
That's what is that?
Whatever college it was that you said you went to.
Oh, people who go to Oakland University, extremely good and cool.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, wow.
It's not common that someone will say that a place where they're from is good and cool. Usually people will say the place I'm from is bad and awful.
The place I'm from is good, cool, bad, and awful.
Is that the name of a TLC album?
Probably.
Good, cool, bad, and awful?
It might be the name of a Foo Fighters album also.
Ooh, I like it. Fizzy, Fuzzy, Big, and Buzzy. My favorite Foo Fighters.
Yeah, there was a time there where like every band was naming their album four words separated by commas that are tenuously at best connected.
Well, Fizzy Fuzzy Big and Buzzy came out in, I think, 1995. That's the Refreshments debut LP.
Yeah, my dad loves the Refreshments.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I got to get your dad on this podcast. Yes. I'm going to get your dad and Kate on this podcast together. She hasn't been on yet, and we'll just see what happens, see what develops. We'll talk about the Refreshments. It'll be great. I'm a big Refreshments guy myself. Yeah, I
know. We'll let the sparks fly.
Kate also loves the Refreshments.
Of course she does.
This has been noted before.
Yeah, well, I, oh man. Let's play a game. Walker, we're going to be playing a game. This game is a new one. We haven't played it before. You're a draft expert, and this is a game that I thought would really suit you. This game is called Draft Draft. Okay. In just a moment, we'll each take turns selecting our favorite NFL draft. We each get to pick four drafts. Walker, you're, I guess, you can go first. That means you'll go first, then Sai, then me. I'll get two picks in a row, then Sai, then you. Mm-hmm. You'll get two picks in a row, then Sai, then me. I get, you know, and back and forth. We'll each pick four drafts. At the end, we'll decide who has the best four drafts. And that's going to be the winner. And so we'll talk about these four drafts. You can just briefly say like what the highlights of that draft are, kind of what you're getting out of that draft, why you're choosing it. So you just have to say it by year, and we'll go from there. So Walker, I'll let you select first. What's your first draft?
2009, because that's when the Lions picked Matthew Stafford.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So really a Stafford man through and through. The 2009 draft is the one that he's choosing. My favorite college and alma mater, Georgia. So, Sai, you're up.
I'm going to take the 2007 draft, where Jamarcus Russell went number one overall.
Yeah, 2007, I believe, was the draft where, wasn't that also the Calvin Johnson yes. draft?
It was, yep.
All right. Yep. Well, Jamarcus, Calvin Johnson, yep, yeah. So that's a good one. That's pretty good, and I think I laud you for that, but I think you're both showing some recency bias. I'm going to take the 1983 draft, and that was the draft, of course, with Elway, Bruce Marino. Matthews, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, Darryl Green, etc. So that was in 1983. I'm going to take that.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
And then I'm going to take also to go with 1983, I'll take 1981, where, of course, you have Lawrence Taylor, a guy who I rounded down on. So I don't think he was actually that good. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was that good at football at all. Of course, as I've covered extensively. But Lawrence Taylor, Howie Long, who I really like, especially as a player, and especially as someone who's doing the NFL on Fox. Howie Long, love him. And especially in movies where he plays a firefighter. Great. And that's also the one 81 had Ronnie Lott in it, too, I believe. So I'm going to take 1981 as my next one.
I'm going to take the 1999 draft where the Cleveland Browns took Tim Couch number one overall.
Okay, that's a bad pick. I think that this draft is bad, and I think that you're intentionally throwing this because you recently won one of these. So you're just you have your one victory, and you don't care anymore. That's what I think is happening here.
Dante Culpepper went 11th overall in 1999 as well. So I like him.
He had a good run. Dante Culpepper.
He did.
Yeah, he's not a complete laughingstock. Walker, your two picks.
Well, the first one I'm just going because it was so laughably bad that it just makes me giggle every time I look at like the first round. So I'm going to go with 2013, which would be the draft where Eric Fisher out of Central Michigan went number one overall.
Yeah, great. Wait, I didn't ask you about Central Michigan. They're called the Chippewas, yes. Right? Stereotype?
Central Michigan is usually everybody's safety school.
Where in Michigan is Central
Mount
Michigan?
Pleasant.
Where in Michigan is Western Michigan?
Kalamazoo.
That's not in the Upper Peninsula, no. Right? Does any what colleges are in the Upper Peninsula?
Michigan Tech is in Houghton. Northern Michigan is in Marquette, and Lake Superior State is in Sault Ste. Marie.
Sault Ste. Marie, of course. Yeah, everyone knows Sault Ste. Marie. Okay, that all makes sense. Eastern Michigan is like in Detroit.
It's in Ypsilanti, which is just outside Ann Arbor.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Ypsilanti, spelled Ypsilanti, like yeah. That. Oh, boy. 2013. Let's look just quick. Eric Fisher, Luke Jokel. Oh, yeah, I remember this one. Deion Jordan, Lane Johnson, Ezekiel Ansa, Barkevious Mingo. Jesus
I
Christ.
Know.
Tavon Austin went eighth.
Didn't Dee Miller
go
like ninth?
Yeah, he was 10th to the Titans. Yeah, DJ Fluker. Sheldon Richardson, like even the good player, like Star Lotulelei was like good for a few years. Even the good players from this draft are like way too, you know, that was the year. Oh God, this they took Jarvis Jones from Georgia, who was great at Georgia, but I think was 46 when he played on Georgia. Yes. And yeah, and seemed destined to not be in the league a long time. Desmond Trufant. This is a weird draft, I gotta say. Zach Ertz in the second round.
The best quarterback in that draft is unquestionably Mike Glennon.
Oh, this is the Eddie Lacy draft, too. Jesus.
Yeah, that draft sucked ass. It was so laughably bad.
Yeah, wow. Keenan Allen,
though. Yeah, he's good.
But he was in Travis Kelce also. They were both in the third
round. Can I tell a quick story regarding Keenan Allen? Okay, so Keenan Allen was on the television the first week I went to Oakland because I was watching the Monday night football game between the Chargers and Cardinals.
This is not a good story.
Hold on.
He didn't say it was good. He said it was quick.
Keenan Allen needed to outscore Larry Fitzgerald for me to win my fantasy matchup. So I'm sitting there watching and Keenan Allen drops a pass and I get audibly irritated because I am an insane person. And a girl walks by and says, "Oh, you must have Keenan Allen on your fantasy team." And I look over and I say, "Yes, I do." I might not have said that. It's basically what I said. And then she says that she also...
Wait a second. I got to stop you right there, Walker. You might not have said, "Yes, I do." That might not be what you said. I think if I had to read between the lines there, I think
you didn't say anything.
I think suave, cool, young Walker Kelly said, "Baby, not only do I have him, I also have you now."
No, we never dated. That's not where the story's going.
Okay, great.
she's my best friend now, basically. Like, her and her husband was boyfriend at the time. They're my two best friends, and I met her because Keenan Allen was on TV.
Walker. Yeah, I gotta say. You said that was going to be a quick story. It was quick. Cy and I both stopped you once, but it was quick. You did a good job. But I got to say, a better opening line there. Cy, let's just pause this game for a second. We're going to enter. Let's play a game. This game is called Introductions to People that are Romantic. In just a moment, Cy and I are going to each take turns saying a thing that you should say to someone when they open a conversation that's open-ended like that, where they're saying, "Talk to me," and how you could react. And not you necessarily. You don't need help in your love life, obviously, from two hero stallions like Chai Fieri and myself, Chid. But let's just do this. We're just going to help you out real quick. So, all right, Walker, you say the line that she said to you. Go ahead.
"Oh, you must have Keenan Allen on your fantasy team."
Cy, you go first.
"You want to hear a story? It's really short. So basically, I was watching a fantasy football game, and I had Keenan Allen on my team, and I also had someone else, and I needed someone to
score." Is that what you think I sound like?
No. No, you actually, you sound like and I know this isn't part of the game, but you sound like one of our more normal guests that we've had.
Cy. I'm going to call a timeout on that. Yep. Cy, that line was way too long. It was not romantic enough. I don't think it's going to impress anyone of the same sex or an opposite sex if that's how, when they say, all right, Walker, that's bad. That's a bad line. And that's bad advice. I can't believe you're engaged. Walker, please say the line again.
"Oh, you must have Keenan Allen on your fantasy team."
"Not only do I have Keenan Allen on my fantasy team, you know what else I got, baby? You on my couch." All right. Say it again, Walker. Say the line.
"You must have Keenan Allen on your fantasy team."
Cy, go ahead.
"Yo, baby, ever have your asshole licked out by a fat man in an overcoat? Bong."
I don't even know. Did you just say the word asshole in an opening introduction to someone?
Yeah.
That's not how you win friends, Cy. You don't win friends with assholes. Everyone knows that. Save the asshole for the third date. Don't bring it up when a window is open like that just a little bit. You have to seal the deal. That's not sealing the deal, Cy.
We're trying to open it further.
We're pretending to be mystery. We're trying to teach him pickup artistry here. We're trying to teach him how to do game. And you're not helping him right now. Walker, say the line one more time.
"You must have Keenan Allen on your fantasy team."
No, I don't have Keenan Allen on my fantasy team. I have you. You're my number one pick. See how that works? It's like a little bit of misdirection. And it gets the person thinking, wow, this person's desperate for me. And that's what you want. You want to prove that you're desperate for them. Because it's like when people are mating, it's like you give off a pheromone and they're picking it up and they receive that desperation. And then that makes them fall in love with you.
Yeah.
Do you want to try one more?
Yeah, one more time.
Walker, give him that line again.
You must have Keenan Allen on your fantasy team.
I do. Did you draft Charles Rogers with your second overall pick in 2003? Because that would be a bad pick. See, what I'm doing there is I'm negging her, and that's a good approach, right?
Sai, you're finally getting it, but you have to be more concise. Words, you have to choose your words. Like, be like Barack Obama. Let me just demonstrate. Walker, give me that line one more time.
You must have Keenan Allen on your fantasy team.
Well, you might be the GM from the Detroit Lions because you've selected Charles Rogers, an underperforming wide receiver.
That was the same amount of words as Sai said, pretty much.
I don't think so. See, I would have a long space where I really thought about it and I said it concisely. That's the difference.
Is she going to wait around for you to finish that?
When you do that long pause, like Barack Obama, they lean in. That's what the book Lean In is about. It's about leaning in to listen to a great man speak.
I thought that was about getting hit by a pitch so you could take your base.
Lean in to listen to men. That's what it's. That's the subtext of the book.
So the joke's on both of you guys because she ended up sitting down and watching the rest of the game with me, and then it turns out that she was dating a guy who was already my friend from high school golf, and that's how everything kind of worked out.
The joke's on you, though, because she married someone else. She didn't marry you.
No. The joke's on you, Walker, because you knew a guy from high school golf.
I was an all-state golfer, sir.
Really? Yes. Golf is a sport that I've played twice, and I always assumed that to be on the golf team in high school, you had to run around the water traps. Is that true? No. Fuck, I should have played golf. I didn't want to do anything that had running.
My school, it was very easy to get on the team because I went to a tiny high school. So if you showed up for the first practice, you made the team.
Wow. How tiny are we talking?
58 kids graduating class.
Chid tore his calf while playing hide and seek with his son.
It's true. I did tear my calf while playing hide and seek with my son. That calf was a grade one calf injury, calf tear, and I'm already feeling a lot better. I'm only walking with a slight limp now, 2 weeks in. So
yeah, sounds like you have grade one athleticism too.
I mean, listen, I don't want to brag, Walker, but let's just say,
his kid can never find him when he hides.
Yeah, when I hide, my son's not finding me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I mean, that's impressive, but is that athletic?
Listen, you're not getting the best burst with me. I'll be honest, that's how I got hurt. It was that burst, that first step. Mm-hmm. That's where my calf broke down. But you're not getting the best burst. What you are getting is high energy and high upside and skills. My son doesn't really, he counts to 10 very quickly, but doesn't always completely close his eyes when he's counting, but he still can't find me no matter where I hide. So think about that.
How old is your son?
He's 3.
Right.
Oh, are you challenging me? Are you saying that you'd be able to find me, Walker?
I would absolutely be able to find you, Chip.
Walker, I'm going to meet you in person one day, and we are going to play hide and seek, and you will not be able to find me. I fucking guarantee it on this podcast. For you and the world to hear, I will beat you at hide and seek. You will not find me. You will never find me.
This has to happen now.
I'm putting it out all on the line. I'm putting it all on the line. Okay. We're done with pickup artistry. That game's over. I've won. I showed you how to be a good pickup artist. There we go. Everyone knows it's over. We won. Let's get back to this draft. We got a couple more picks here. So, yeah. Walker, you picked 2009 and 2013. You have one more pick here.
I will go with 2018 because that was the first draft that I seriously scouted and I had like a big board and everything for. So it kind of holds like special significance for me because of that.
2018 NFL draft was the year that who won first that year?
Baker Mayfield.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Wow. That was 2018. That was already 2 years ago. Jesus Christ. Where's time going? I didn't like that pick at the time. I still don't really like that pick.
It was fine.
I just, he's not a guy who I really believed in college. You know who he reminded me of a lot in college? Not the way he played necessarily, but just like the way that he carried himself is a little someone who the Browns also drafted a quarterback not too many years before that.
Tim Couch?
Colt McCoy.
Yeah, he was a real Tim Couch guy. No, Johnny Manziel.
Yes, that was the very popular comparison.
Yeah, I didn't like him in college. I thought he was kind of a dickhead. And
Mayfield is a dickhead.
Yeah,
he's just better than Johnny Manziel at football.
Yeah, well, that kind of remains to be seen, in my opinion. He hasn't really proven a hell of a lot so far. Well, although sure, I guess
Manziel been a is like worth negative value to his team. So.
Yeah, that's well. I don't know. That team is rough. That's another team that, you know, when you keep you're changing direction every season. It's not going to be good for any players, I guess. In his defense. But yeah, okay. So that's a fine draft. There's some good stuff there. The only thing I was going to say about 2013 is if you look at the third round of the 2013 draft, basically, like it's possible that you could that 2013 NFL draft. The third round of that draft is better than the first round. I think every pick might be better than the first round.
It's pretty close.
Comparison.
It's the dumbest draft ever.
The third round is Travis Kelce, Dwayne Gratz. Okay, maybe not that one from UConn. A little weird. Larry Warford, C.O. Moore, Benny Logan. Okay, I'm not proving my point here. Leon McFadden, Tyrann Mathieu, T.J. McDonald's there. Liddy Rare Wilson, again, also from UConn. Oh, yeah, why were there three UConn picks? What the fuck? Were all these teams on drugs? They're all picking guys from UConn that year?
No, Dwayne I think Gratz the year sucked. Before, Belichick picked a UConn player, and that was the Rutgers.
They were like real year. Value, yeah. Third round also had Mike Glennon, Terrence Williams, Terron Armstead, Keenan Allen, Dallas Thomas, Marquise Goodwin, Marcus Wheaton, J.J. Wilcox, Logan Ryan. There were some good picks. Daron Harmon, Stedman Bailey, Niall Davis. Like that third round is, I guess, a first round would be a pretty weak first round, but I'd argue that there are more hits in the third round than in the first round. That
a lot of serviceable players
questionable.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Weird. Weird season. All right. Cy, you are up for. I'll just make this the last round because we each have three. So you pick one more.
Okay, I'm going to go with the 2002 NFL draft where the Houston Texans took David Carr, number one.
Oh, yeah, David Carr. Classic. Oh, yeah. Great and great player and an even greater, you know, you can't completely rule out David Carr from being successful yet. Like, some people say the book is already closed on his career, but I think that there's still time for him to come back and prove his mettle.
If you combine him and his brother, Derek Carr, maybe.
Here's the thing about that year is just and from the quarterback position, not a lot to write home about there.
Joey Harrington.
Yeah, Joey Harrington went two picks later. So I guess, like, I don't know. That draft also had JT O'Sullivan, who played in an
NFL Europe.
Yeah, JT O'Sullivan also played in he played in a playoff game, I believe. He started because the quarterback of the Niners was injured that year.
Yep, he did that too.
Yeah,
I think their starting quarterback was Jeff Garcia at that point.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, that was a rough quarterback year. Jesus Christ. Let me read this list of quarterbacks. David Carr, Joey Harrington, Patrick Ramsey, big woof, 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 Josh McCown. I guess he's the best one so far. David Garrard, who had a couple really great seasons and then completely fell off the face of the earth, but seems to be having a second life as an important player. Yes, they did.
Okay.
Rohan Davey, Randy Faisani. Kurt Kittner, Brandon Doman, Craig Nall, JT O'Sullivan, Steve Belisari, Seth Buford, Jeff Kelly, Ronald Curry, and a guy named Wes Pate from Stephen F. Austin.
Ronald Curry was incredible in high school and also pretty good in college, but yeah, he just couldn't put it together.
Yeah, that's a rough group of guys, I gotta say.
Oh yeah, yeah. McCown is almost unquestionably the best there, and you know, Carr probably would have been better if his offensive line wouldn't have been just five turnstiles.
Guys, Derek Carr's a Super Bowl champion.
Derek Carr?
Nope.
David?
The David Carr I was talking about.
Was he a backup for somebody at one point?
Yeah.
The Giants, right?
Yeah. Well, he won a Super Bowl. There you go. He's also, he went to Fresno State. Fresno, a place that's near and dear to my heart.
Bulldogs.
So, yeah, go Bulldogs. They're not the right Bulldogs for me to say that, but go Dogs anyway. So I'm going to pick the last draft here, and I'm going to pick, let's see. I'm going to just go with the 1985 draft. Pretty easy, pretty down the middle. Bruce Smith, Jerry Rice, Andre Reed. That was a very good draft.
Yep.
So yeah, that just, you know, if we're judging, so let's just review people's drafts. Walker picked the 2009 draft, the 2013 draft, and the 2018 draft. Cy picked the 2007 draft, the 1999 draft, and the 2002 draft. And I picked the 1983, 1981, and 1985 drafts. If we're just going based on how many Hall of Famers came out of each draft, I think that I clearly won. You know, I probably have, like, in those three drafts, I probably have like 10 top 50 all-time NFL players. So I think I beat the shit out of both of you guys, and I won the inaugural draft. Anyone want to argue with me?
I won't argue with you on the Hall of Famers, but what I will say is, of course you have more Hall of Famers because you picked old drafts.
Yep. Well, no, that's how you play. That's how you win. So nice to win. It's just like, it's so refreshing to win these games where I set up the rules and parameters and I decide the winner. It's like, it just feels so good. You know what I mean? Like, it's not hollow at all. It's going to feel as good as when I beat you at hide and seek, Walker. When I kick the shit out of you at hide and seek and you cannot find me.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we come to the end of the show today. Is there anything you want to plug, Walker?
I'm on Twitter at draftbracketguy. You can follow me. I don't always follow back. I pretty much cap myself at 300 followers because I'll go insane otherwise.
Okay. Cy, anything you'd like to plug?
Nope, nothing to plug this week. I got shamed for plugging last week.
I don't think you got shamed. But that's great. I'm going to plug this podcast. You should listen to it, rate and review on iTunes. We still need people to review the show. You know, it's great. Yeah, you should. The reviews are all good, and you give us 5 stars. Tell us what you like about the show, and if you don't like something, tough shit. Fuck you. Then pay us. So yeah, we're starting a new thing where you can pay, of course, $5 for 30-second ad. We'll read your ad on the show, and that's great. That's been going gangbusters. We're making a lot of money from that. We're not yet really close to our $10 million goal, where Cy's going to get those two sandwiches tattooed on his face, or $20 million goal or stretch goal, where I get like a tiger fucking a dragon tattooed on my whole face and head. So that hasn't happened yet. We're not that close to those things, but when we get that money, then we're going to be all set. I will say, though, so like advertising, some people want to do that. But you can also now, if you pay us $1, you can tell us one thing you don't like about the show. So for $1, we will hear complaints and we will read them on the air. So $1, you can give us a 1 to 3 word complaint about the show, and we will read that complaint on the air. And that is a $1 thing. And that's, of course, on the Cash App. It's $ rounding down. So you want to send a complaint, you want to bitch about something because you were a little crybaby, then yeah, we'll pretend to care and we'll read it on the show if you send us one of your US dollars.
Can I say the thing?
Sure.
Fuck you, see you later.
Wow. I didn't know that's what he was talking about. Jesus. Fuck me, see me later.
2 Rounding Down is produced by Chid. Music by Corey Major. Artwork by Cy Fieri.
This was a Buzzcast Network production. Bow.